Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And happy Friday, everyone. This is the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review, also co-author of Heavy Lifting. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, Good, Bad, and Crazy Martinis for Conservatives. We start with the good, and it comes from a surprising source, one that has never been in the good martini before, and that is California Democratic Congresswoman Loretta Sanchez. She was talking on the program Politic King with Larry King, very clever titling there, and she was talking about a lot of the different issues being thrown around, whether it's the Trump plan or just national security in general, about how to keep radical Islamic terrorists out of the country. She kind of gave the president a pass on never using the term, but she did admit that there's a substantial portion of the Muslim population around the world that agrees in some ways with the ideology the radicals are pushing.
We know that there is a small group, and we don't know how big that is. It can be anywhere between 5 and 20% from the people that I speak to, that Islam is their religion, and who have a desire for a caliphate and to institute that in any way possible, and in particular go after what they consider Western norms, our way of life. They are not content enough to have their way of looking at the world. They want to put their way on everybody in the world.
Jim, 5 to 20% of 1.7 billion is quite a few people, but it sounds like Loretta Sanchez has been at the cafeteria lunch table with Tulsi Gabbard.
That's an interesting point. I hadn't thought about the possibility of her rubbing off. When I wrote about this yesterday, I noted that her congressional district, also in L.A., kind of the other side, about 50 miles from it, but clearly a potential sense that could have happened in her district just as well. I pictured at that moment of her saying this, and it being kind of spotlighted by BuzzFeed, the entire media being frozen in indecision, not sure whether to denounce this for Islamophobia and bigotry, or wait, well, it's a Democrat. Wait, she's cool. All right, she's all right. You know, and you know, it'd be interesting to see where she's when she says people I talk to. I think it was Ala Pundit who said, "Well, is she hearing this from the intelligence community, or is she hearing this from Vinny the butcher down at the supermarket?" You know. But you know, the numbers seem plausible, and that's a pretty big range there. But when you're, as I said, you put it with more than a billion Muslims around the world, a couple million Muslims in the United States, you know, even if it's 5%, that's a fairly significant problem to deal with. And it'd be nice if we could have this discussion. And maybe, you know, the president in his Sunday night address made a line or two about the responsibility of the Muslim community to identify these extremists, to isolate them, to argue against them. If they appear to be a threat to others, to report them to law enforcement. It would be nice to have this open discussion about this. And so it's the fact that Loretta Sanchez managed to do this, and arguably because she has a D after her name, nobody wanted to call her this hateful bigot. I find that much more useful and constructive than Hillary Clinton's "Islam has nothing to do with terrorism." That just seems like, you know, just flat out ostrich style approach. So I am encouraged by that. We'll see if more discussions along these lines come. I find that preferable to a blanket denunciation of Muslims, which might be a good segue to our next martini.
There you go. It's definitely been the week of Trump ever since he proposed a temporary ban on all Muslim immigration. A lot of folks upset with not only his proposal but the timing of it, because it basically gave the president a free pass from what many consider to be a very weak speech Sunday night. But anyway, CBS News has done a poll saying nearly 6 in 10 Americans say the United States should not temporarily bar Muslims from other countries entering the U.S., and two-thirds say such a ban would go against the founding principles of the country. The official number was 58 to 36. Further down in the survey, though, this one much closer, 46% opposed, 44 in favor. In addition, it says the public divided over whether the government should keep a database of Muslims in the United States. Most Republicans favor it, but a majority of Democrats do not. Independents divide on the database idea. Basically, it's 2-1 Republicans in favor, 2-1 Democrats against. So, Jim, it's a difficult issue to wrestle with. We see Rand Paul talking about regional issues. Talked to someone yesterday who said maybe just military age people from some of these countries. But in the end, government keeping tabs on people in this country, particularly if they're citizens, just gives you a very creepy feeling.
For everybody who wants to insist this is constitutional, I would argue, don't argue with me, argue with Ted Cruz. Unless you want to call Ted Cruz a rhino, squish, establishment, all that kind of stuff. One of the things that jumps out at me, Greg, so let's say you've accumulated this database of every Muslim in the United States. What do you do with it? What does it get used for? I mean, does it help you stop attacks? Does it, you know, like, I don't really get how exactly it would be useful to law enforcement unless at some point you wanted to round them all up. Let's say you wanted to disarm all of them. Like, it's kind of this fascinating inverse of our argument about the no-fly list going on, that we don't want your name being on some government list to be, you know, for your Second Amendment rights to be abrogated by that. There's no judicial review. There's no proof that you have actually done something criminal. Just something at some point put your name on a list. And, oh, by the way, it's entirely possible you have the same name as somebody else. Senator Kennedy had this happen to him. Stephen Hayes had it to him. They've had two-year-olds whose names are on the watch list, and they end up having problems. Well, kind of a ridiculous thing. While at the same time, people are saying what we need is a list of every Muslim in the country. This strikes me as two completely contradictory approaches to this problem. So I find this pretty pretty negative. You point out the numbers there. I hope Democrats don't get too high on their horse about this, because you're already looking at, you know, basically about a third of the party saying of Democrats basically saying, you know, yeah, they're okay with it. You know, 31%. Independents evenly split, 44-44. And so I'm kind of unnerved by this, this attitude that, you know, we should have a giant government database of people by faith. Greg, by the way, could you imagine if they pulled Democrats on, do you believe the government should have a database of all evangelical Christians? There'd be probably overwhelming support for that. So, you know, I don't think government databases of people by religion is a good idea. And you can direct all the hate mail to me this week.
Well, just to clarify, and I think you've basically said it, but in case anybody didn't get the message there, we are, I think both of us, highly in favor of a database of anybody who is suspected with good reason of being involved with this. Anybody
Probable cause.
Anybody who's been in contact with.
Something, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Drop the hammer and keep a very close eye on all of them. And actually, the Democrats do want a registry, the National Gun Registry. So that's one thing that they've been pushing, and it's a decent transition to our third martini, and that is that the left has really become unhinged on guns. And I don't know, Jim, if this is just designed to make the Obama position look more reasonable, or this is really the left saying what they really believe on guns. This is from the New Republic, which, you know, they've been through for the past 12 months or so.
Desperately flailing for attention, yes. Like an angry toddler. Yes.
Yes. So the headline is, it's time to ban guns. Yes, all of them. And then here's some choice excerpts, starting with the very lead. Ban guns, all guns. Get rid of guns in homes and on the streets and as much as possible on police, not just because of San Bernardino or whichever mass shooting may pop up next, but also not because of those. Later on, ban guns, not just gun violence, not just certain guns, not just already technically illegal guns, all of them. I say this not to win some sort of ideological purity contest, but because banning guns urgently needs to become a rhetorical and conceptual possibility. Here's the best part. It's not about dividing society into good and bad gun owners. It's about placing gun ownership itself in the bad category. It's worth adding that the anti-gun position is ultimately about police not carrying guns either. That could never happen, right? Well, certainly not if we keep on insisting on its impossibility. Phoebe Malt Bovey is the author of this piece. So, Jim, when we're taking guns away from cops, I think it's hard to even have this conversation with people like this.
Greg, can people fly by flapping their arms?
I don't think so.
Now, look, it's always going to be impossible as long as people like you keep saying it's impossible. The first step to making something possible is to believe it. And so if we all just believe that we can flap our arms, it will become possible. Tinkerbell proved that to us.
That's true, yes.
So, yeah, on the one hand, dear Democrats, please run on this. Please, Hillary, please adopt this. And secondly, like, look, those of us who are skeptical of the gun control movement and believe that it has always been a not so hidden effort to lead to national mandatory gun confiscation. Hey, you know, good for you, New Republic. Please put this on the cover. Like, you know, go for it. My colleague Charlie Cook likes to say, yeah, you go to the Union Hall. You go into Pennsylvania and Ohio and Iowa and Minnesota, all through the Rust Belt. Tell all these guys, yes, we're taking away your guns. Please vote for us. And let's see how that goes for you guys. But also, like, there's a certain, you know, like, salute the honesty here. By the way, Canadian author, openly contemptuous to the Second Amendment. I don't see, at any point, did she go through and say we should actually change the Constitution?
Ah, schmonstitution.
There you go. Yeah, you know, It's a tired old document sitting in the National Archives. Who pays attention to it anyway? On the one hand, this is great. Please go for it. Let's do it. But the part about let's disarm the cops, wow. You know, Robin Williams used to have a routine about the British police back when they had the bobbies, and you know, there was very few cops were armed in London. Do you know how they did their police work, Greg?
Yelling stop.
They say stop, or I'll yell stop again. At the exact moment when people are shooting at cops and there's, you know, increased violence and things like that, you know, what's really spectacular is that right after San Bernardino, this is when the New Republic feels it is exactly the time to call for disarming the not just every citizen, but the cops as well. Way to go, New Republic. Way to go.
The debate also has been raging lately. You know that Quentin Tarantino, who makes the most violent films on earth practically, has been leading this crusade against the cops in New York and elsewhere. But there are actually some sane voices in Hollywood, and one has spoken out. It's Kurt Russell, who's actually kind of libertarian-leaning. He was doing some promotion for the film Hateful Eight, and he was being interviewed by a guy named Jeffrey Wells, who kept going on and on about the need for gun control. And let's just say Kurt Russell had a very good response that I think would also serve as a very good response to this piece in the New Republic.
If you think gun control or something like that is going to change a terrorist point of view, I think you're like out of your mind. I think I think anybody is. I think it's absolutely insane. The problem we're having right now is that we don't have the concepts of how to turn it around and say, you know, you may think you've got me worried about what you're going to do. Dude, you're about to find out what I'm going to do. And that's going to worry you a lot more.
I'm worried just listening to that, Jim.
Snake Plissken 2016. But, you know, well put. And I just kind of observe your description of Quentin Tarantino movies, Greg. Quentin Tarantino movies are so violent that there's a message from ISIS telling him to tone it down. too much blood for their taste. So, yeah, let's hear it for Kurt Russell. I just, you know, I hope he just does like a Snake Plissken endorsement video for candidates after a while and just say, you know, vote with the NRA. Enough of this nonsense, you know, and, you know, let's build a world so that we'll never have to escape from New York or that really awful sequel that most people pretend didn't happen.
On that note, Jim, have a fabulous weekend. We'll talk to you Monday.
See you Monday, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to tune in again on Monday for the next Three Martini Lunch.